Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this day with joy. You are a merciful God full of compassion and abounding in mercy and truth. You tenderly invite us to come into your presence to receive your grace and your forgiveness. And so we come here today confessing our sins, desiring to be blessed by your forgiving hand. May our worship be pleasing in your sight. May you bless us richly for your Son, Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. Rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the very children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O Father, your Son Jesus endured the agony of the cross so that by his death and resurrection we might become heirs of eternal life. Fill us with the joy and peace of believing as you guide us on the way that leads to heaven. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with our Passion History of Christ, the readings from the four Gospels regarding the Passion, the suffering, and death of Jesus. Today we come to part six, that's found beginning on page 5 in your bulletin. Then they crucified him there, and two others with him, robbers and criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and Jesus in the center. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." Now it was the third hour, which would be 9 a.m. according to Jewish time, when they crucified him. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and divided them up among themselves into four parts, to each soldier a part, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." That the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Now Pilate wrote a title or inscription of his accusation over him. And the soldiers put it above his head on the cross, and it was written, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in letters of Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And the people stood looking on, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, even the rulers, the chief priests, together with the scribes, the Pharisees, and the elders, sneered at him and mocked him among themselves and said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, that we may see and believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. One of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. And it was about the sixth hour, which would be 12 noon, then the sun was darkened. From this hour darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, which would be 3 p.m. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those who stood by heard that, they said, "Look, this man is calling for Elijah." After this, Jesus, seeing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. Then immediately someone ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed on hyssop, and put it to his mouth and offered it to him to drink. He and the others said, "Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him and take him down." So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And when Jesus had cried out again with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit and breathed his last. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion who stood opposite Jesus saw what had happened and that he cried out like this, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." When the centurion and those who were with him regarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Here ends our Passion History reading. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. I invite you to please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 7 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, O Christ, You Walk the Road. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been lost? I'm seeing all the men of the congregation shaking their head. No male has ever admitted to being lost before. But for the rest of you who have been lost or will admit to being lost, how did that feel? Not knowing where you were. Not knowing how to get to the place where you were trying to go. Not a good feeling. Were you scared? Confused? Did you feel helpless? Did you feel hopeless, especially if you really, really got lost? If you are really, really lost and can't find your way, it is not a good feeling at all. I would rank it with one of the worst feelings we can have as human beings. Now, you'd think that in our day of GPS, phones with apps that have turn-by-turn directions, you'd think it'd be nearly impossible for us to get lost anymore. But we do. We're human. It's what we do. In fact, you might even say, in a sense, it's what we are, at least by nature. When we're born into this world, our spiritual GPS is broken. We are by nature lost. We don't know how to get where we're going when this life is over. And because of that, it can feel scary, confusing, helpless, and hopeless. If you have those feelings when you're lost physically, imagine how scary it is to be like that, to be lost spiritually. And so we see people seeking all kinds of different ways to not be lost, seeking out all kinds of different philosophies, rituals, and religions to try and find their way. And that's why Jesus came. He came for a world that is full of lost human beings searching for life's meaning, searching for peace, searching for eternal life, seeking what is after this life. During his ministry, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that what was lost." That's all of us. Again, by nature, that's all of us. We were lost. The night before his crucifixion, the night before this text takes place, Jesus said to his disciples and to all people who would read his words in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In our sermon series on the names of wondrous love for Jesus, we take a look at a name from our text today, or named today from our text, that reminds us that Jesus is the way. It reminds us what a blessed name that is for Jesus. The two men being crucified on the cross next to Jesus would certainly qualify as men who had lost their way. Luke tells us in our text that they were criminals. And they must not have just been the run-of-the-mill kind of criminals, because we know the Romans did not just crucify anyone. These men must have been among the worst of the worst. They deserved to be where they were on that cross, or on those crosses next to Jesus. Their actions in this life had led to this horrific death. The second criminal in our text even admits to this. He says, "We are punished justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done." But Jesus, the one who is crucified in the center cross, certainly did not deserve this. He did not deserve to be there, nailed, hanging to that cursed tree. The second criminal recognized this as well and rebuked that first criminal for blaspheming. And he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." looking at Jesus' silent suffering, listening to Jesus' remarkable prayer, praying for the forgiveness of the people who nailed him to that cross, the people who had mocked him and beaten him and hurled insults at him while he was on that cross. This criminal had reached a blessed conclusion. This Jesus was not a sinner who had lost his way. He was innocent. And yet, shocking as it may sound, Jesus belonged on that cross, didn't he? He belonged there because, as Isaiah reminded us way back in the Old Testament, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Sounds like getting lost, right? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Holy Son of God was guilty because the sins of the world were being placed upon him, being heaped upon him, and he was experiencing the full punishment of hell that all those sins deserved. And because of that guilt, the Father turned his back on him. We heard him cry out in agony again in our Passion History reading, those chilling words of Jesus from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The one who had never lost his way was paying for every wayward thought, every mistaken or wayward word, and every action of every lost sinner. When we look at this scene again today, are we amazed by the wondrous love of our innocent suffering Savior? Do we realize as we look at this scene that we have a lot in common with those criminals who were crucified next to Jesus? Because of our sins, we too were headed for a horrific punishment, yet one that we must admit, just like that second criminal did, we deserve for what we have done. You might say, well, that's a bit harsh. Death on the cross, hell, eternal punishment waiting for us on the other side. But what we often forget, because we live in the world we live in and we are sinful human beings, we forget that God does not grade on a curve. He doesn't wink at our so-called little sins. He doesn't sweep gossip under the rug and, you know, say, well, little white lies aren't that bad. They don't really count. But then he burns in anger over things like theft and murder and adultery. No, in the eyes of a holy God, sin is sin. Every sin carries with it an eternal death sentence. Each time we shoved God down our priority list, every time we had a greedy or hateful or lustful thought, every time we said hurtful things to someone or acted in a way that was unkind or unloving, we earned that criminal's cross. We earned that punishment that awaited for us that was not just a physical death, but an eternal one. The more we realize how lost in sin we were, the more we appreciate the wondrous love that held Jesus, the innocent one, to that criminal's cross. That second criminal we hear about in our text not only saw that Jesus was innocent, with eyes of faith, he also saw that Jesus was his only way to heaven. And with eyes of faith that were miraculously opened by the Holy Spirit, this condemned criminal now saw Jesus as his Savior. And he prays, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This repentant, yet clearly undeserving criminal asked Jesus, the Almighty, Holy Son of God, he asked Jesus for heaven. What nerve, right? Yet what was Jesus' response? Some of the most comforting and beautiful words of the Bible. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. In a few hours, that criminal would draw his last breath. And because of the one who was crucified with him, and crucified for him, That very day he would be with Jesus, but not nailed to a cross next to him, but wearing a crown of glory with him in paradise, in heaven itself. Do you see yourself again in the criminal here? Undeserving though we are, with repentant hearts of faith, we too have this same promise of heaven from Jesus. By his grace, we know that he is the way to heaven. We have heard, and we believe through the work of his Holy Spirit in our hearts, that he is the way. Listen again to his very own words, and listen again and understand what he means by this. John 14:6, again, words he spoke the night before his crucifixion. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is not part of the way to heaven, as if we have to climb the rest of the way ourselves or do something else to complete that journey. He did it all. That's what he meant when he said, "It is finished." He also did not say, "I am one of the ways to heaven. I am one of the saviors who can get you there." No, he says very clearly, "I am the way." And he adds, "No one comes to the Father except through me." So all other ways to heaven that we or anyone else can come up with, or suppose that we can come up with, only lead to a dead end, literally. Jesus is also not just some perfect road sign, pointing us in the right direction, showing us the right way to go. He's not just a perfect guide or roadmap to heaven either. He is the way to get there. Through his death and resurrection, he is the perfectly paved highway to heaven, and he is the perfect, reliable, and absolutely free transportation who will take us there. His own promise of paradise guarantees it. The way. What a wondrous name of love for Jesus. May the God of all grace keep our faith focused on him as we journey to the heaven that he won and has prepared for us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord, you may do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service today with our next hymn, "You Are the Way Through You Alone." Please rise. We bring prayers to our Father's throne today for those who have suffered great loss in the tornadoes that hit Mississippi and the severe storms that are still threatening the southern part of our country. We also pray for protection and for the Lord to prevent more flooding in our state as more rain is predicted to be on the way this week. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes, Grace.
Prayers of thanksgiving for our Aunt Gertrude, the Lord called home this past Friday, shortly after her 103rd birthday. Prayers for comfort for her children who've been her caregivers for so many years now.
Thank you. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O Lord God, our Redeemer and our Creator, we come before you on behalf of those who have suffered so much loss in connection with the deadly tornadoes in Mississippi and the severe storms which have hit and are still threatening the South. With the gospel of your unfailing love, we ask you to comfort those who have lost loved ones in this storm, those who have been injured or otherwise are sitting on the rubble of homes and businesses destroyed. Help them, Lord, to say with your servant Job, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." At the same time, dear Lord, may they find peace, hope, and patience, knowing that through all these things, and though all earthly things, even this life itself, is destroyed, yet through faith in you, the crucified and risen one, we have blessings that no storm can destroy and that even death cannot take away. We have in you the forgiveness of all sins, eternal life, and salvation. Protect those who are in the paths of current severe storms and tornado threats. Protect and watch over the people of our state and our area as well, and prevent further flooding if it be your will, as more rain is forecast this week. May all citizens of our country be brought to such an awareness, looking in faith to you alone as their Savior, their protector, their provider, and their God. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for the life that you gave to your servant Gertrude, whom you've called home after 103 years of life on this earth. We thank and praise you for making her your child through faith and for bringing her to the eternal mansion you've prepared for her by your grace. We pray that you'd give comfort and peace to her family members and her loved ones, those who have been her caregivers for so long. Help them to know, dear Lord, that she is in a better place with you, and that because of you, we can look forward to seeing her again when you call us home to be with you in heaven. And dear Lord, please bring that day quickly when you come again to take us all to be with you in heaven. Teach us, Lord, to be loving and to be merciful. Help us to gladly help those who are in need, to show patience and forgiveness toward those who sin against us. Do not allow us to be discouraged from the crosses that you may call upon us to bear for your name's sake. Give us boldness at all times to confess you as Lord and Savior, as the way before an ungodly world and nation. While we live here, cause all sorrow, distress, sickness, persecution, and every trial and temptation we're called upon to endure, to purify our faith and draw us closer to you. Throughout our lives, you have been a continual source of earthly blessings. You've always blessed us with the rich blessings of comfort and forgiveness and with a wonderful hope of heaven. For these and all other blessings without number, we give our heartfelt thanks and praise. O Holy Redeemer, forgive all our sins. Forgive every instance of our failing to let your cross and the beauty of your love shine forth in our lives. Cause your saving name to be preached in all the world, and open hearts everywhere to believe in you and to worship you as Lord and Savior. Teach people in every land to lay their burden of sin at the foot of your cross and to look only to you for forgiveness, for help, and healing. Hear us for the glory of your name, and hear us now as we pray in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service today with the last hymn, Christ, the Life of All the Living, and I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Christ, the Life of all the living.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements from the bulletin. First, for after the service today, the women will have their auxiliary meeting, meet in the fellowship hall after the service today. Then after that, I will be heading to Hayward at 1 p.m., and Bible class will be held today there in Hayward at 2 p.m. This week, Tuesday, I'll be heading to Stockton for our worship service there at Oakmont Senior Living at 2 p.m., and then I'll be visiting the folks in Sacramento at Forever Easter House at 4:30 p.m. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, our church council and our elders meet via Zoom at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, believe it or not, is already Palm Sunday. That begins Holy Week. We'll have our worship service at 10 o'clock with communion next Sunday, and then also Bible class will be held at 9 a.m. next week. There is a sign-up sheet in the entryway for Easter brunch. We do plan on having our joint worship service for Easter at 10 a.m. and then a brunch following on April 9th. Please sign up if you'd like to bring something. Also, the Holy Week schedule is in the bulletin on page 13. We will be having our Good Friday worship service with communion here in Mountain View at 7 p.m. Good Friday. There's an update and a letter from Pastor Neil Radical, our former pastor here who suffered a heart attack earlier this month. He sent a letter out to all the pastors and congregations and people who had offered their prayers and support, and gives us an update there. Thanks to the Lord, he is feeling better and seems to be doing a lot better. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.